There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. This is episode 42 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. Today, it's August 6, 2016. We are all eternal and limitless beings of pure positive love and acceptance, and yet every single one of us limits that to some degree. We are all on a path to becoming who we really are. We are all taking unique paths. There is no wrong path. Each path is right for that person. However, we seem to be attached to our limitations, and we clutch to our limiting beliefs. Today, we will talk about who we really are and see if we can figure out how to become that version of ourselves. On the roundtable today, we have Steve Finizza. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Gary.
And Michael Goodson. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Gary.
And Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
How's everyone doing? Did anyone do any moving this week?
Yes. Help my mom move.
Kyla, yep. you look like you're moving.
I am. I'm sitting in the car packed full of about 2% of my belongings.
Where's the other 98%?
In a storage unit and at my parents' house. I do have one carload at my new apartment, so.
Okay, good. So yeah. What are you going to be gradually moving in over the next few months?
Over the next week. I actually ran into a friend who offered to help me with his truck today, so I'm taking a load up today.
Wow.
It's quite the coincidence.
Quite the manifestation.
Right.
That's
yeah,
right.
in more ways than one, yeah.
Yeah, good. And that's Steve, great. Your mother moved?
Moving.
She's moving?
She's got to be out this weekend, though.
Did you pretend you weren't available?
It's no pretending. I am such a busy, busy, busy person.
Gary, you're so mean.
Well, see, what I did, my friend Bruce, my oldest and dearest friend, he's moving from here, South Florida, to Charlotte, and I drove up with him in the rental truck to keep him company. But I lifted nothing, so basically
I
just...
That's like going for a ride.
That's going for a ride is what I did.
Yeah. That's like that ad. What's the name of that comedian who does it where he's directing his kids? And he says, and then at the end he says, come on, hurry up. Daddy's getting tired and he's not lifting a thing.
Right.
Jim Galligan.
Mm. Gaffigan.
Oh, Gaffigan. Yeah.
Gaffigan. Yeah.
Cool. So this is the week of moving, I guess. All right, let's start to show off. This is – okay, so we're all limitless, eternal beings of pure positive love and acceptance. Did you know that?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. So how come we're not that right now in these bodies? Why are we such jerks?
Because we adopt limited perspectives.
And what else?
Fear. I don't know.
And we didn't know it's a thing, you know?
Yeah.
We never knew that before, that was a thing. I was thinking today that, you know, I am manifesting so many great things, but this expression of love, which I know that I really am, is not easy to get out there. And I think it is because I never knew that that was a thing I really wanted. You know, it's not something I never focused on. Never wanted to be more loving than I am. So now that's my sort of desire now, is to become more and more loving. And I practiced that this whole week, and it was really interesting. So I'll talk about that more as we go along.
It can be interpreted as being kind of weird, though. You don't want to be loving to everyone.
Well, you know, there's that idea. There's that idea that, you're too nice or too happy or too over the top. But what I was doing was I was being more non-resistant and accepting So really, unconditional love is the same thing as saying unconditional acceptance, right? So when I was saying something and people either didn't get it or didn't want to hear it or wanted to hold on to their limitations or wanted to argue about it, I just let them be right. And that was my expression of love, was that I had no agenda. They could say whatever they wanted to say. I wasn't going to get upset. And then I purposely did not say anything that I thought had a potential of getting anyone upset either.
Well, you know, there is a real need for unconditional love. If you look, you know, there is this woman from India named Amma, and she is believed by many people to be an incarnation of a Hindu goddess. And people flock, and they fill up stadiums, they fill up convention centers. She was recently at the Javits Convention Center, and there's another woman just like her who actually I met. And people there, but the other one in particular is known as the hugging, I forgot what they call her, but, you know, where literally people come and line up for hours and hours and hours just to be hugged by her. And people are desperate for that. People really want that. Right. So, you know, it's a question of, you know, there is some question of context where people are afraid if you just ran up to them in the middle of Manhattan. Yeah, you'd probably get dragged off by the police because people would be afraid that you're really just mugging them or groping them. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, there is that real sense that people want this so much. People desperately need this so much.
Right. And we've never had any experience with that. None of us have ever experienced unconditional love. We've only had experience with conditional love.
I have dogs, so I can say I
dogs. There you go. That is so love. True. That is
well.
So true.
But they're waiting to be fed, and they're waiting to be and they
unconditionally loving. Mine is, you.
That's just Rocky.
Just Rocky. I could move my hand and hit him in the face, and he doesn't care, he's like, arr! And then we'll come back and be all happy to be with me, Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're right, Steve. Dogs, not cats.
Not cats, the opposite of cats. Yeah. I have cats too, so I can compare and contrast.
They have a different style is all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're wonderful in their own right.
But not by people. Yeah. People, it's a lot harder too.
Yeah.
And certainly we don't do it.
I was going to say, since starting the one-on-one, I've gotten a lot better at practicing what you were talking about, Gary, like my version of unconditional acceptance of other people. And it came up in a question with Joshua last week when I was trying to accept this person in my life. They pointed out that I was conditionally loving myself. So the past few days I've been practicing being a pure positive love for myself. So
right. That's probably the goal there.
Yeah.
Practice that on yourself before anyone else.
Right.
Yeah.
I was trying all week to be very happy and very loving and whatever. And then yesterday, a client set me off, or not yesterday, day before, a client set me off so badly. And I started, can we use the F word on this?
Sure. Absolutely. It's encouraged on the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this client started on me, and he just and I was I needed to speak to him about particular matters that needed to be dealt with quickly in a court filing, and he was going on and on and on about making accusations about everybody, including one of my colleagues, et cetera, and I just and me, and I just smacked my hand down and yelled at the top of my lungs, "God fucking damn it!" And bang, and one of my partners immediately ran in, closed my door so I wasn't disturbing the rest of the office. And I apparently and I was so loud, and afterwards I told my wife I almost had a stroke from this, and my wife said,
"Wow."
What are you, an idiot, Michael? You're going to wind up having a heart attack or a stroke because some client is nuts. But the point being, I wasn't quite as loving and as unconditionally accepting as I might have liked.
Right. Well, we all have those big ones, but also the little ones. I mean, I'm noticing this whole week I was with Bruce for 2 days, with his sister-in-law, with my friend Clark, with my friend Casey, with my brother and his whole family, and I was completely easy and non-resistant for 95% of the time. And those people really felt it. And they all had a good time around me, too. So instead of being a douche, I was like an anti-douche. You know?
Wow, we really have escaped the seven dirty words you can't say on television.
Was that one of them? Douche isn't one of them.
No, yeah, no, douche wasn't. Yeah. But you never heard that word used until the mid 70s.
I was just called douchey just yesterday.
Yeah, we can all be douchey.
What a coincidence!
Yeah,
but there are no coincidences, Steve.
But if you put the resistance, you know, that responsibility for handling your own resistance on yourself and say, it's not other people, it's me, and let everything roll off your back and just be aware of your resistance so that you don't even give it a chance to come up because you're focusing on being so easygoing.
I can do it for everybody except my wife and my mom.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the final frontier right there.
You know, my mother is had a stroke. She lives in South Africa, so she's half a world away. She can't really – she's been taken care of in her apartment by two lovely women, and it's around the clock care, and she can't really – doesn't want to really do anything. She just wants to lay there in bed. She can't. But there's a lot of things she needs to do. And so it gets, on my side, really annoying because, one, she will never, ever ask about me or anybody. Only talks about herself. And she needs to do things but won't let anyone help her. And if you suggest something, she'll just come up with some excuse why that won't work. And there's literally nothing you can do. So finally, I just said, okay, I'm just going to listen to it, and that's all I can do. And not worry about, oh, my God, we're going to have to come up with money. She's going to have to sell her apartment. She's going to be forced into an old folks' home. All this stuff that's going on. And I said, well, you either have faith that things are going to work out or they're not going to work out, right? So if you don't think they're going to work out, then you're going to have fear. But if you realize that they're going to work out, the Jews can't see how it's going to work out, then there's no reason for fear. And if you look back, everything has worked out, even though it doesn't seem like this situation for her is ideal, but really it is for her. She's even started to get into Joshua. Here's the thing. This is so annoying. She has a Kindle, but she can't figure out her password anymore to buy anything on Amazon. And she won't start a new password or a new account or anything. She says she can't do that.
She can get it resent. She just has to have her user ID, her email.
No kidding. Right. No kidding. Right. You can't tell her that, though. She goes, no, it's lost forever. There's no way to find it. You don't understand here. You don't know how this works. It's different here in South Africa with Amazon. It's completely different, right? So she reads all the free parts of the book that are in, you know, when you So she's all into Joshua, and she gives all these Joshua quotes and stuff. It's very funny.
Well, Gary, send your mom a book.
You can't mail anything to South Africa. You can send nothing physical there. They don't have a mail system. It does not work in South Africa. I might be able to FedEx something, but she can't even hold the book, though. It has to be a Kindle. She's paralyzed on one side.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, but anyway, now I just let her go and all that stuff. instead of constantly resisting this for the last, like, 5 years of this. Well, it's gotten much easier.
I'm in the same boat where, you know, I think my mom's taking maybe a route that I'm a little concerned about. Mm-hmm. But if I just sit there and go, okay, she's powerful, she's a creator, she's doing this, it makes me feel better.
Absolutely. It has nothing to do with you.
Right. Well, there's something about the relationship there, but that's whenever I start throwing in a separate, more than one person, and my mind starts to snap.
Yeah, but the relationship part is that you have your own fears about what you think might happen in the future. Like you're going to have to pay for her.
Yes, but if I just – the thing I'm working on here is being able to – like let's say this – just for my own persona. I did help – we got a U-Haul last week and moved all the big stuff. But this weekend it's just the – some boxes, and I'm not helping this weekend. So I'm thinking that part of me is like, feeling super guilty for not doing that, right? But the other part of me is like, she's powerful. She is able to do this. And things are going to be okay. And I think, I don't know, I think there's a lesson for me to learn here. So,
and you're not inspired to help.
Right.
Which means if you did help out of guilt, it would just be a complete clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Like I got my
like our conversation was yesterday on the phone.
Yeah.
Well, my mom had a couple of manifestation events within the past week. She's fallen twice. Oh, what's this?
Put your mic closer.
Oh.
A little low. There you go.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, my mother had a couple of manifestation events this week. She fell twice. The first time she was weeding in 90-degree heat, which got me crazy that she was doing that. She and my father have a landscaper. But she decided, you know, she's OCD. Everything's got to be absolutely perfect. So she was weeding. She fell. She broke her nose. She cracked her remaining kneecap, and she sprained her wrist. So she's in a splint. She looks, you know, apparently she looks like she, you know, like my father just beat her, you know, repeatedly. But she's still doing things. So then the next, you know, like 3 or 4 days later, she's walking without the splint down a flight of stairs. She's carrying something. Misses a stair, lands again bangs her head, shatters her wrist. She needs surgery on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Before my mom had her stroke, she stood on the coffee table to change a light bulb, and it's a glass coffee table. Through it. And then she ended up on her feet, nothing wrong at all. You know, it was perfect.
But still.
It's like, wow. You know, it's like things are happening for these people, you know.
Right.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, my hands are up in the air. I don't know what to do. I just have to feel good myself.
I do intend to have the conversation with my mother again about the need to have some assistance in the house, which she's been very resistant to. But yeah. I have to learn. But I have to know how to deal with it as well in terms of realizing that at the end of the day, this is her experience, not mine.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing to remember. Very good.
Yeah. Okay, and then I'll beat her to death to get an assistant.
Yeah, and you'll make her life miserable until she does.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay, who wants to read the quote?
I will. Okay. You can lie to people, but you cannot lie to the universe. In order for this system to work for you.
Hold on, you got the wrong quote.
What?
See,
no, that's the quote. That's the right quote.
Dude, really?
This makes my persona feel good.
Yeah.
Right.
The wrong one. Oh, it is the right quote. Okay, never mind.
Okay.
Go ahead. Thank you. Sorry
I'm
about
start
that.
Again for the full effect.
That's right.
Yeah, good idea.
You can lie to people, but you cannot lie to the universe. In order for this system to work for you, you have to be the truth of who you really are, rather than the smaller, limited truth of who you're being right now.
That's such a good quote.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You can't fake the universe.
Well, we come here deliberately limited so that we can have these new experiences that we can't have when we're unlimited beings of pure positive love.
Well, what makes you think we come here limited? We come here unlimited.
Well,
learn our limitations. We adopt them.
I think when you're born, you're unlimited.
Unlimited.
But that doesn't.
You look at a little kid, a 2 or 3 year old. They seem to me to be pretty much limitless.
Oh, I love. We have a daycare at where I work, and just walking in the morning, right? These kids are running and jumping and just celebrating life, each and every day, right? And I'm like, oh, if I just had that outlook and.
Until they're told no, 200.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Right.
Until it's beat out of them.
So just a few days ago, I took my kids to see the new apartment that we're moving into. And I am grateful that everything is working out exactly like it is. But I still, there's a part of me that's like, it's an apartment. I wanted a house, you know, and here's this apartment. My kids walk in and my oldest goes, whoa. And my youngest too goes, this is so cool.
Wow.
Yeah, right? Like they were in a castle or something. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. Yeah, that's how I should be looking at this.
That is. Right. You know, if you were coming from Ethiopia or wherever and you got to live in that apartment, you'd be like, wow, this is unbelievable. Yeah. There's a Taco Bell right across the street.
Right. Yep.
It's all about food anytime. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's such perspective.
Yeah, just don't let your cats near the Taco Bell.
Hey. Hey, Taco Bell's awesome.
Meow, 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 meow.
Did you know that Steve works for Taco Bell?
Yeah. Yes.
He works in the corporate headquarters.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not why you have cats, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's it.
Cats are delicious.
Oh.
All right.
All right.
We can swear, but we can't talk about cats like that. That's wrong. There's no wrong in the universe except for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I drove up with Bruce, and you know, Bruce and I have known each other since ninth grade. So imagine your best friend is all of a sudden channeling higher intelligence. I said, if you were doing it, I don't think I could be as accepting as you are. You know, to Bruce, but he's like totally into it. He's read all the books, and so, but we figured out that his more specific intention in this life is this idea of justice. He's always standing up for the weak. His whole life, he's been into justice, and he was thinking about becoming a lawyer in his life too. But
and then he recovered.
Yeah, and then he recovered. Actually, his father was a developer, and so there was a lot of lawsuits going on in his life, so he didn't really like lawyers, but nor does his father, so he was probably poo-pooed away from that idea, and then went into real estate. But no matter what it was, he's had this struggle with justice, and so his thing, you know, the first thing Joshua says is there's no wrong. So he's had the most struggle with that idea over everything. Okay, we're back from our technical difficulty. Kyla's headset blew a fuse. But you can talk on your computer, so it sounds great. Okay, so we're back. Anyway, I was driving up with Bruce. So he was talking about how there is wrong in the universe and that you do need to help people and all this stuff. And I said, yes, but you can look at it in a way – that's empowering, but if you look at something as wrong, you're really holding on to some limitation there. And it was so hard for him to get that until we realized that he was here to explore that subject of justice. And if he could realize that people are here to explore their own path, their own way, on their way to becoming who they really are, and allow them to do it, and then focus yourself on what feels better and detach yourself from that limitation, then that's what is empowering for you personally. And he totally got it, which was so shocking. It was just amazing how someone could – his whole life is wrapped around this one issue. And then this one car ride in about 2 hours, a light switch came on. And he said to him – he said something – I can't remember what it was. But I said, now just take that subject that you're saying and say the opposite. You know, and we had been sort of battling a little bit about that being a limitation or not a limitation. And I'm saying, you know, showing him it was a limitation. And he just said, okay, I'm going to say the opposite. And he said the opposite. He goes, you know, actually that is more empowering and I can see that now. So that was a pretty cool manifestation of this trip that we took together.
That's pretty monumental, actually.
Yeah, it really is. And it just shows you, if you can be open in your beliefs – that you can make these changes. And this change for him, you know, if it sticks, will change his vibration and therefore change his reality. And his reality really has been affected his entire life by this limitation. There's a lot of instances we can go back and show where he's trying to you know, really show that the justice, the truth of this matter is this way, and everyone else is getting it wrong, and it's really, you know, created some big manifestation events for him. So it was pretty cool that he got to that level. So that was a really interesting part. Okay, we have a question that came in actually this morning. I was gone all week, so I didn't do any questions from Tuesday until this morning. So we're doing one that I think is pretty cool. And Kyla, are you going to read the question for us?
Sure.
Okay. So bring your computer a little closer to you because you sound like you're in a cave there.
Okay. Is that better?
Like this.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Okay. Speak loudly and clearly.
Okay. Hi, Joshua. I was shown your website by my cousin completely out of the blue, so I know I am meant to be here and hopefully find an answer or some direction to the situations I'm finding myself in more often as of late. The loving mother and spirit of ayahuasca welcomed me into her arms a few years ago, and since then I have come a long way within myself, both mentally and spiritually. I have been given the opportunity for exponential growth and awareness, and I'm so grateful for that. I now 100% love who I am and openly put loving energy out into the world. But in doing so, I now feel incredible amounts of love and connection for certain women that come into my life every now and then. I feel that me being so open and honest, borderline excited, to those people that I'm too much for them and I scare them off, or that I now have criteria for the kind of woman I want to be with, so I'm forever letting myself fall too deep for those women, even though I know there will be either no reciprocation or the feelings quickly fizzle out. I don't go out and search for love, but when I feel a strong connection come along, I seem to latch on to it. Anyway, I guess my question is, why do these connections that I feel so strong for always seem to fizzle out and hurt me so bad? Why is it that I continue to go down that road? Why is there rarely the reciprocation from her that I'm yearning for? Is it that I am too open and I have an unrealistic expectation of the return love I crave because I've felt true love before? I long for the kind of love and connection that I have for myself. Shane.
That's such an interesting question that came up today, and that's why I picked it, because I drove Bruce to Charlotte, and then from Charlotte, I took this road trip across North Carolina and ended up in Nashville, and I was driving a lot. And I love the Joe Rogan podcast, so I was listening to that. It lasts like 3 hours long, and it was talking about all this stuff, including ayahuasca, which I had never heard of before, but which is a plant in the Amazon that you make a tea with, and that you drink it with the shamans in the Amazon, and you get a glimpse into the non-physical. Is that right, Steve?
That is correct.
You're supposed to say, why did I ask you, Steve?
Why did you ask me?
Why?
That,
did you
I should. How come I didn't say, is that correct, Michael?
Because we understand where Michael would have come out on that.
So I'm listening to this podcast. And I'm like thinking, geez, I think that I would like to do ayahuasca. And here it is, the guy. And this whole show was about ayahuasca and MDMA and LSD and stuff.
Who was the guest?
I got to look it up. It was another comedian.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really great. We got to send him a book.
I know. I've heard him talk about having one where he has a neuroscientist on and they talk
about
it.
That's another great one.
Yeah, I haven't heard it, but I bet
it. Listen to that one. Listen to that. That was the neuroscientist has been working with MDMA and post-traumatic stress disorder and has figured out a therapy with therapists administering this over a three-day period that soldiers or anyone who's been traumatized in their life can be cured. Be pretty much cured by it. So what happens is there's a scale on post-traumatic stress disorder from 1 to 130. And most of us are around 5 to 10. Everyone has some trauma, but soldiers might have 60 or 70. You know, if you were abused, you might have, you know, 80 or 90. The top is 130. And 50 is the limit for the clinical diagnosis of it. So if you're over 50, they say you have PTSD. And with normal medication they give you now, it can drop at like 5 to 8 points. So you can go from a 70 to a 60, but you're not going to be under that 50 level. So you're still going to have these effects of it. And with this 3-day therapy that they do in a controlled setting with MDMA, it drops at 50 points. So in essence, it can cure almost everybody. And then over the next 3 years, as it monitors the people, it goes down another 10, 15 points from there. So they've been starting since 1985. It's 30 years now. And they are just starting phase 3 clinical trials with the FDA. So it's pretty interesting. But that's a really interesting podcast there. So there is something to the psychedelics that give you this enhanced view of reality.
Gives you
it's one thing for Joshua to tell you all this stuff, but then to actually experience it yourself, it must be mind-opening on a whole different level.
Yes, and you can do – I think Salvia was very – from what I've read, is very similar to all this ayahuasca stuff. And Salvia is pretty readily available.
Yes.
And legal.
And legal.
Your dad. And you can buy ayahuasca on Amazon, so it's legal too.
All right, so let's all get together. We'll meet somewhere in the middle of America.
How if we meet on our cruise?
On a cruise ship? You think that's a good idea, surrounded by like a thousand
people? People just think we're seasick.
Yeah. As long as nobody jumps overboard, I think we're safe.
Look at Michael. He's like, I'm not going on this cruise.
I mean, first of all, ayahuasca makes you throw up.
Oh, we can handle it.
What's one throw up for a lifetime of infinite intelligence?
I'd prefer to do it more natural, in more natural ways than without the throw up manifestation.
I wonder how many people throw up when they read A Perception of Reality. okay, let's go on to the answer, though.
Okay. Dear Shane, you are a limitless and eternal being of pure positive love and acceptance. That is who you are, and that is who everyone else is, too. To some degree, you are limiting who you are, and so is everyone else. You now have a glimpse of who you are due to your experiences with ayahuasca. You see who you really are in great detail, and you yearn for that to be the living example that you expose to the world. However, most of the women and men you meet are not ready to see that. They are attached to their limited version of themselves. For you, it is important to understand this. It isn't about you. It's simply about them.
So that's the truth of pretty much everything. If you're putting yourself out there and you're getting a response from other people that doesn't meet up with your expectations, then you might feel discord. Because you are looking at that from a perspective that isn't aligned with who you really are or your inner self sees it. So it's them. It's not you. It's their issues that they're going through. They're not ready for you, and you might be ready for them, but you can't create their reality. You can't control them. And if you do try to control them, then you're just asking for something that you may not want. Now, this happened to me. I graduate college. I'm out with these two girls. We're at a dance club, and one of my friends is – we're all dancing, and she's bumping into this other girl, and this other girl's getting annoyed. And so I start dancing with the other girl and really like her. Turns out she's in a relationship with another guy, living with another guy. They had moved down from Buffalo or something, Albany. And I am, like, pursuing her. So I – send flowers to her work. I show up and take her out to lunch and just totally court her, thinking, this I know better, right? That I know better than the universe. She's saying no, no, no the whole time. She's already in a relationship. But I woo her over. We end up moving in together, get engaged, get married, and divorced after 11 months.
Oh.
Right? So I got everything that I thought I wanted. Turned out I did not want this at all. Right?
Right.
And I just realized that when she said no, okay, that's fine with me.
Or maybe after you were married and you had applied some of the principles that you learned from Joshua, you could have made it work.
No, because I think Joshua would think she's a bitch too. Yeah, you are right. And maybe I had to go through that relationship to get this great relationship that I have now.
Yes.
Right.
precisely. Yeah.
Well, you know what strikes me with Shane's letter is that while he's talking about unconditional love, yet it's conditional. You know, he doesn't feel it when he's rebuffed, which makes it not, you know, it's not unconditional love. In fact, if anything, you know, it's kind of there is almost a sense, at least I'm picking up, of a neediness to it. You know, maybe I'm misinterpreting, but well, there's a sense of neediness. And if anything, people find that to be very unattractive.
But you don't need to change yourself just because they find it unattractive. And if you read the letter, if you read the rest of the answer, you'll see what Josh was getting at there. So it's fine for him to express his love. If he gets rebuffed, then he gets rebuffed, right? If it's not reciprocated, it's not reciprocated. And Michael, you're right. If they had reciprocated it, he would have felt better. But what would happen then? So let's see what Josh has to say there.
Okay.
See, now I know, you know, I got a little glimpse into this whole answer, so I have a little more information here.
Well, I read the answer, but this is still what kind of struck me as I was reading the original question.
Okay.
You know, I still have free will, and I still have the, you know, and I may still disagree a little with Joshua, but anyway.
What?
What? Heresy! Burn him! Burn the witch!
Take away his free will.
Take away his free will. Are we not men? We are Devo. Now, as you are aware, there are certain universal laws which will produce what you want. In order for you to become a match to what you want, you must alter your vibration. The most direct way to change your vibration is to change your set of beliefs. You currently believe that your love should be reciprocated, but this is actually what you do not want. You want to give love and then allow the one who can see you for who you are to find you. You do not want every woman to fall madly in love with you. That would not work for your to your benefit, even though you might fantasize that it would. You are becoming ready for the one who will be able to appreciate and reciprocate the deep and unique love you were able to offer. Keep going.
Well, okay. I think we should disagree with Joshua on the we don't want every woman to love us. Really? Really?
No.
Just kidding.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
That sounds like
a lot of work.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And while most women are wonderful, just like there are most guys are wonderful, there are some people you don't want hanging around you.
Yeah. Suppose they just loved us for a short period of time. I'm just kidding. Forget it.
Oh, boy. Love the one you're with?
Exactly. Another song reference.
But, yeah, I mean, the thing is, just like my illustration of my first wife, is that you have this intention in your head, but you can't know how it's going to work out. You can't know everything. What you want to do here is have faith that it's all working out for you. So if you were a pure positive being of love and acceptance, you could love someone, allow them not to love you, and not care either way. You don't have to be the one that determines what's going to happen in the future. You can allow, or you can have faith that the universe is going to find the person for you. So let's see what happens next.
Well, let me jump in real fast. When you're, like, let's say in today's society, you can't go around loving. You'll be perceived as weird if you just love everyone. So I guess you'd have to be almost willing to, you have to be a very stable person yourself. And I guess it depends on how you're showing your love.
Let's trade the word love for acceptance.
People. Yeah. Cause I feel like I've kind of been doing that. It's been an experiment for me.
Yeah. I've been doing it too. Just accepting everyone as they are and accepting the results as they are too, without having to coerce the results in your favor.
I think that helps.
For save faith.
I think the substitution of acceptance, because I think I'm throwing in possibly way too much with the love package. There's sex. There's a bunch of other things that go along with that. So acceptance makes a lot more sense here.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. The rose ceremony. Okay. Now, everyone missed that reference, and it wasn't or you got it, and it wasn't terribly funny. Okay, I'll go on, and otherwise, shut up. Okay, that's The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
I haven't seen that, so.
You're not missing anything.
We're just reading books about higher intelligence.
I don't watch the show. I know it from People magazine.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Got to do something when you're in the bathroom. Until the time comes that you are ready for that person, you will go through some manifestation events. You will find yourself in situations where you are inspired to exude your love and then see that the object of your desire is not the one who is ready. You are also not ready. These manifestation events help get you ready. When she arrives, you will recognize her. Keep going, Gary?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay. At this stage in your development, you would not recognize her if she were standing right in front of you because you are not yet a vibrational match. It is better to think of this time in your life as your training period. You are getting ready. You are being transformed. You are encountering many instances where you feel negative emotion. These are your manifestation events. The events are not wrong. Your negative emotion is your indication that you have beliefs which are not aligned with who you know yourself to be. You must alter those beliefs by realizing they are based in fear. There is nothing to fear. It is just a process. You are becoming ready. You are moving to the place you want to be. Just release your need for your love to be reciprocated and focus on allowing your love for yourself and others to flow unrestricted without demanding that there be some sort of outcome.
That's like kind of a saying. Unconditionally accept yourself first, and then it'll become easier to accept others as they are, and then it'll be easier to accept the conditions, however they turn out, as they are, without trying to have an agenda or be results-oriented, because you can't really know where you're going to be led.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. Yep. Okay. The outcomes that actually happen as a result of your expression of love are always the right outcomes. You do not want it to be any other way. Trust us. Oh, if someone told me that in my world, I would cringe. But okay, that's my lawyer hat back on. Take it back off. Go back to Joshua. If someone does not return your love, that is a very good thing. You cannot see very far down the road. You cannot know how it will all play out. You imagine that things would be good if only she would realize what she's missing. It would not be. What you want is the one who will be ready for you. What you want is to be ready for her. It will happen when you let go of your own plans and let the universe work it out. Work on yourself first. Allow these events to play out. Release your irrational fears. And watch with eager anticipation as things unfold for you. It is our promise that everything is working out for you. Just relax and allow it to come. With all our unconditional love, we are Joshua.
And as I was writing that, Joshua would normally say, allow the ones to come to you. There will be more than one. It won't be all of them, but there is no such thing as a soulmate. There's many possible soulmates. But in this case, for him and his set of beliefs, it is the one for him, for Shane. So, you know, that's the idea here, is that you have a glimpse of who you really are, which we're all getting that glimpse now, which makes it a little harder, because now I can see the difference between how I'm being and how I really am. And I sort of beat up on myself when I'm not overly talkative, overly nice to everyone, overly loving, overly in a good mood all the time. I sort of feel like I should be in a much better mood. I should be like this person who's exuding love and acceptance all the time, and I'm definitely not. But at least I know that there is this higher ideal to look at, and that I'm moving in that direction more and more and more. And this week I was living as a much more accepting person, And the reality of everything went perfectly. Every single thing went perfectly. There was not a glitch in the whole week. It was amazing.
I had a similar experience when I went to Italy. It was my most non-resistive trip, I guess, to date. Mm-hmm. It was just, I was going, is it a, and I'm joking here, but is it a coincidence that everything just seems to be going, the hotels are nice, the food is nice, everybody we meet is nice, or is it, or have I changed, you know?
Yeah.
Or was this just a good trip? But I think we know the answer. So.
And I think it's easier to be non-resistant on vacation.
Yeah, exactly. You don't. Yeah. I'm serious. Because when you're, if you talk to certain people in my lives, they don't think I've evolved one iota, you know, spiritually, you know.
And I was thinking about that too. Yeah. But I think that I have. And, but, you know, not to the extent that you might have thought. Is everyone
well, I think it depends on who you're talking to. I mean, I can definitely feel it from my perspective.
I can feel it from my perspective too.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Although, like I said, I'm very much still a work in progress.
Yeah. I wish it.
Well, we always are.
Yeah, and Steve, you're right. Right.
If you're still alive, you're still
about Esther progress. Too. I wonder how far Esther's come after 30 years of this, from who she was before to who she is now.
Abraham shares lots of stories about what Esther does and goes through, and it's I don't think she's banging on the desk screaming obscenities, but
hey,
like Michael, is she punching through doors?
Hey, I was punching my, you know, I'm punching things still, so I'm not throwing stones, Michael. Definitely.
Yes.
This morning, we cook green beans for our dog's meals, right? So he gets 8 halves or pieces of green beans. So maybe it's like 4 green beans and his food. And the green beans apparently are supposed to reduce cholesterol. So I was cooking green beans and they're hot. So I took out the water and put ice in there. And Lily's like screaming at me, "No, you can't put ice in there. He has to have the water that was cooked in the green beans. You threw out the water."
Vitamins.
So then I threw out the green beans and started over. And she's like, "You and your temper tantrums aren't helping anything." Well, what am I supposed to do? The green beans don't have the water that the dog apparently will not survive if it doesn't have it, right? I can't keep them anymore.
I think it was the way you threw the water out probably that she was talking about.
Oh, I have to do it in a nice, loving
you
way.
You have to be a nice, loving way.
I didn't throw them on her.
And you're right. I'm sorry.
But one thing is, I didn't say a word the whole time.
I'm sure you were very verbal, non-communicative.
I was, non-verbal communication. However, I was like, no, you know, I'm not going to say anything.
You know, just so that you don't think you're so weird, we actually cook broccoli. We heat up broccoli for our dogs.
That's crazy.
So, green beans, that's sane. Broccoli, insane.
Are you kidding? My late dog, Boo Boo, ate better than I did.
Yeah.
He was on all kinds of special foods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do chicken. We cook chicken for our dogs.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. In the Midwest, you feed him Alpo.
Oh, that's so 90s.
Oh, my God.
Not really, but I'm definitely not cooking anything for my dog.
My wife's grandmother cooked chicken livers for their dog. Lived to be 20.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think we should put all the dogs on the Joshua diet.
I think all
the dogs are already on the Joshua diet. Yeah. That's why they're all lean.
See?
Yeah. All the animals are on the Joshua diet. The Joshua diet is about is your approach to yourself, really, mixed in with how that affects what you eat. Yeah. And I'm totally changing my complete approach to food altogether. And it's happening naturally. Nothing I'm doing. Yeah. So,
I had a backsliding moment last week. I picked up this other book called The Bulletproof Diet, which is supposed to be amazing for in terms of your ability to raise your energy levels as well as a pound or two.
And let me interject there. You read The Joshua Diet too, right?
Yeah, I've gotten part of the way through the Joshua diet.
So what's going to happen is you're going to be inspired to find a diet that works for you.
Right.
That's
because
how it works.
Because I'll tell you, I tried the Bulletproof diet for 2 days, and part of it, you either buy this Bulletproof coffee from them, but I don't have a coffee maker for it. Instead, what you can do is you use coffee and you put in grass-fed butter. And coconut oil.
Right.
And I've got to tell you, I had that for 2 days, and for 2 days I had the most powerful case of diarrhea that I've had in a long time.
I don't think we can say that
on this show. Oh.
That's TMI.
That's wrong.
Too much information.
And I was so sick. And I felt like someone kicked me in the stomach. Uh-huh. And was kicking and kicking and kicking, and I had to go home early on Monday.
And
I said, this is not the diet for me.
You probably lost weight.
Yeah. Water weight.
You know, that's how Joe Rogan drinks his coffee.
Yeah, totally. Oh. That's exactly right.
I've got to do a little bit better.
You get into the state of ketosis. And that's how you start. But right, the point is that you're going to be inspired to find what works for you. And you'll be picking it up. It'll come somehow. You'll listen, overhear something, or watch something on TV or whatever. But that's the point, that no diet is right for everyone because everyone is unique, and you will be guided to the diet that will work for you.
And there could be a diet that works for you for a little bit, and then your vibration changes, and then maybe you're matched to a different diet.
Right.
But finish reading the book, and you'll see. Because after the end. Plus, there's a whole workbook that goes with it and a whole bunch of things you're supposed to do for the next 13 weeks when you first start doing it.
So when's it going to be available?
I think in October, November. It'll be ready for this holiday season. For the gift-giving season.
I thought that was going to be Conversations with Steve. That was going to be the big gift of the season.
That's for the spring 2000.
It's the Easter gift.
That'd be the cruise gift.
Steve, you're the gift that keeps on giving.
I must be.
Sign the book on the cruise.
There you go.
So does anyone have any idea what our time is, how long we've been going so far?
I don't recall what the first part was.
We kind of got knocked off a little bit.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have all the time in the world, right?
That's right.
We do.
If Joe Rogan can do 3 hours, shit.
He can do 3 hours. He's a... So intelligent, that guy. Imagine speaking to one other person for 3 hours.
I think you have
and sometimes he does
crush.
A couple of them in a day. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
It's nuts.
I love that show.
But he's just sitting around, like, getting high and talking to his friends.
Yeah, we need to start getting high first. That's what we'll do. Then we can talk forever.
Yeah,
Michael's
on board
you know a guy.
What?
What?
What's that?
I said, Michael. Surely you know a guy. Michael.
Michael knows a guy. Michael, do you have a connection?
Yeah, I am a little bit further than Bill Clinton. I have tried it a number of times, and I have inhaled.
Yeah.
But no, many, many years ago. So no connections for me.
I heard that pizza delivery guys. So all you have to do is ask a pizza delivery guy. Are you carrying? Are you holding? Something like that. That's
what you gotta say. You know, I used to be a pizza delivery girl.
I did too. I was a pizza delivery guy.
Wow. But
you have nowhere to ask me or anything. What was the strangest thing that happened to you delivering pizza?
I got an Eagles record as a tip.
A what? An Eagles record as a tip. Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, I got other, like, people would offer me a shot, you know.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Did anyone ever come to the door naked?
Not like with the door open all the way, but yeah, I went to a Motel 6 and it was pretty sketchy. It was, it looked like there were some illegal activities going on in there. Yes, and they were not close. So that was something.
Well, I had a delivery boy job with Chicken Delight for 3 days. I am very poor with this was many years ago. There were no GPSs, and I'm incredibly poor with directions. I was lost on every route, and you know I did it for 3 days. And on day four, my name wasn't on the schedule. I took the hint.
Yeah. Steve, did you ever deliver anything?
No, but I worked at a pizza parlor. It was my first job for making the pizza.
You still make pizza. I make pizzas until I started this new diet that I was inspired to do, which removes bread and pasta. I used to make pizzas all the time.
I can't do that.
Anybody, Steve, surely somebody made like a Finizza pizza joke?
Well, I'm the first one. I'm the first one to always say Finizza.
That's how you pronounce the name.
That's right. I did have a guy who I thought was angry. He made me come out into the restaurant and taste the pizza. Uh-huh. And then he said it was the best pizza he'd ever had in his life. And he just wanted to, you know.
Wow, that was nice.
I thought so. Yeah. I remember it today after, nice. You know. That must have been 5 years ago. No, I'm just kidding.
Good. All right, you guys. Well, this has been fun as always. I'm going to start allowing things to happen, to unfold, to let people be as they are, to not get annoyed with anyone, to realize that if I am being annoyed with them, it's me, not them. You ever get mad at somebody and really dislike someone, and then that person has friends? There's this guy at poker that – generally, almost everyone can't stand him. And he still is talking to people, and people are going up and saying, hey, how's it going? I go, what, don't you see what I see? So I'm just saying this annoying side based on my own personal issues.
Some of my best friends, I was originally annoyed and disliked them originally.
Absolutely. Isn't that funny how that happens?
And then they became like best friends. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it? I mean, have you ever had the reverse happen where – there's somebody that you know, think should be more attracted to you, where you're like, don't you see how awesome I am? You know, instead of, don't you see how annoying that person is?
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
Does that only happen to me?
Why, does someone think you're, attractive, annoying, unannoying?
Oh, neither. Just like, I feel like I've sort of been in the same position as Shane, where I'm like putting all this love and maybe it's not reciprocated.
Like, this awesomeness. Don't they see how awesome I am?
Right. But I've also been in the reverse where it's like Shane feels that way about me.
Yeah. So I've been right. And it's just that it's not you, right?
Right.
More awesome.
Yeah.
The person's blind to that awesomeness.
Right.
We all see it. It's obvious to us.
Right.
Right. But the person is just not a vibrational match.
I thought it was funny in that question, Joshua's answer was like, Jesus was really awesome, but not a lot of people saw it at the time. Hitler wasn't that awesome, but a lot of people thought that he was.
Right. Did we do that question on the air?
No.
That was such a cool question. So that was such a similar question to this.
Maybe, and I almost maybe we to should.
Yeah. Well, I almost wanted to do that one, but I wanted to talk about ayahuasca, so we did this one. Plus, Kyla gets a lot of airplay on this show.
She does.
Yeah. well, in the words of the song from the Legos movie, everything is awesome.
Yep, everything is awesome. It's your perspective.
That's right.
So, but yeah, that's true. Like, look at Jesus at the time. Most people didn't think he was awesome. And at the time, most people in Germany thought Hitler was great. But then, turns out, not so much.
Ooh, yep. That sounds like judgment.
Oh, Hitler was great to you,
well,
Steve?
Everybody's great, okay? There is no wrong.
You are so advanced. Very good.
We are heading into some really interesting and dangerous ground.
Well, this is – we can talk about this stuff because – our community understands that this is a learning process and judgment has no place in this. So you can have your opinions, but.
And if you want, you can see Channeling Eric's interview with Hitler.
Right.
See what his purpose was.
So. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's higher level stuff. And we're on that leading edge. This is the expansion of the law of attraction.
That's right.
Big stuff here. All right. Well, fantastic show, you guys. I love being here. I'm glad I'm back. Nice talking to you all. Nice seeing your lovely faces. Everyone who's listening, thank you for listening. You will be getting this on your subscription to the Joshua newsletter we're doing it like on Tuesdays. But you know what I think we should do? This is possible. It probably isn't possible. But it would be cool if we send out the newsletter on Sundays so that they got this show right with the newsletter and the question and the quote all together at one. So we might do that. Instead of sending them out on Saturdays, we might send them out on Sundays.
I was thinking about that since we are on Podbean now.
Yeah.
Straight to Podbean, so there's not as much work behind the scenes that has to happen.
We also could just get one episode ahead, you know.
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't have the time pressure to do it all overnight. You know, we could have a week to get it published.
So yeah.
We just talk about it a week in advance.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure this out.
Okay. Yeah.
And Kyla, you're working on the Joshua Abundance Meditation, which is
awesome. I am.
I can't wait for it to be finished.
Yeah.
So get your little studio set up in there.
In my car.
Oh, in your car. Well, the acoustics are good. They sound really good.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, so if anyone has a question for Joshua, please send it in. And if you want to talk about something in your life on our show next week, send us a question or a comment, and we will choose a subject that is of interest to you. Until then, have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.